All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Shock. Oh, we will. We're going to Genesis 6. Just calm down. All right, calm down. Man, y'all got mean in this last week here. All right, Matthew 24. All right, look at verse 1. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." All right, now that prophecy right there that Jesus spoke to his disciples was fulfilled to the letter in 70 AD. 70 AD. That's when the Arabs filled the temple with timber. They filled it up, got as much as they could get, threw it all inside, put an accelerant on it, and lit it on fire. And then they closed all the windows and they shut the doors and they walked out and just left it alone. And for 2 weeks, it sat in there and smoldered until all of the oxygen was gone. And then you know what fire does to get oxygen. And it just exploded. And when it did, there was not one stone that was left upon another. Now the foundation, we found out, was still there, the foundation stones, but all the stones of the temple were just blown out. And the temple was completely destroyed. And it is still destroyed today. On the many trips that we have been over in to Holy Land, you can walk up a little ramp that takes you over to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, and you can look over against the foundation stones, and you can see all these humongous stones that were expelled from the Temple Mount down into that little ravine, and you realize that, wow, just like Jesus said, there was not one stone left upon another. All right, so that was fulfilled in 70 AD. Now, look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" All right. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? All right. Now look, please, at chapter 24 and look over at verse 34. Verse 34. Well, let's go back to 33. In 33, the Bible says, So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near. All what things? Well, all the things that he is saying in chapter 24, in the earlier verses, from verse 3 all the way down to verse 33. And Jesus said to the disciples, now boys, when you start to see these things happen, when you see these things taking place, then you're going to know that the time is near. He said, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, what generation is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the generation that starts to see all these things happening. All right, now I'm not going to take the time to go and read all of this to you, but if you will look at verse, let's start here in verse 6 or verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention or not. It's so hard to find news. All you get today is commentary. It's just almost impossible to find news. So I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but over the last 4 or 5 days, there has been several volcanoes that have just all of a sudden come to life. I mean, serious come to life. And then in the last couple of days, there have been so many earthquakes all over the world, all over. California, yes. Alaska, yes. You ready for this? In diverse places, Antarctica. Antarctica had an earthquake this week. A big one. Antarctica. How would you know? I mean, you know, how would you know that? Well, they have stations down there, and they monitor this stuff all over the place. In Europe, in China, in Russia, in Malaysia. I mean, all over Japan. Japan had a major major earthquake. Yesterday, a major one. And so something is rumbling around. And so when you start to hear about all this stuff, he said that this generation that is seeing this, that generation will not end until all these things be fulfilled. Now, how many years is considered a generation? 40. All right, 40. So think about that now. We are seeing all these signs right now. Then the Lord Jesus gives a promise in verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Folks, we can rely upon the word of God. Now, look at verse 36, and this is where I was headed to. But of that day, the day of the Lord, and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, now here's where the Lord lets us in on a little secret. But, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. I pray that you will help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. And Lord, may we just glean some things tonight that'll be a blessing to our hearts. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I think it is really interesting that the word type does not appear anywhere in our English Bible. It does not appear. You're not going to find it. All right? The word typology does not appear in our Bibles. And yet, the study of types in the Old Testament is one of the most intriguing and interesting and rewarding exercises that any believer can do. Another interesting thing is the Greek word for type is translated figure in our Bibles, or it's translated shadow in our Bibles, but it is not translated type. Interesting, huh? It's a shadow. I got tickled about Josh telling that story. I had forgotten all about that. I don't know how many times we told him stay out of that creek. That was the dirtiest creek. Oh my goodness, it was dirty. And Josh, stay out of that creek. Okay. And then we look outside and he's not there. And I go over and there they are trying to catch minnows or trying to get crawdads or something. I mean, they're down in that creek up to their knees. And that filthy old creek. And when he said that the sun was starting to set, and then all of a sudden there was this shadow that went across all the, I started laughing. I thought, oh man, I could imagine the fear that overtook his soul when he saw that shadow. So that's the way the scriptures take the word that is normally translated type in the Greek language, but when it's translated, it comes in translation as figure or as shadow. So we speak of types as figures or shadows of objects or of events, occurrences, or of people. Now listen very carefully to this definition. Listen very carefully to this. A type is an incident or occurrence that is historically true, but points to another person, incident, or an occurrence in the future. All right, now let me say it one more time. Think. Put your thinking cap on and see this. A type is an incident or occurrence that is historically true, but points to another person, incident, or an occurrence in the future. A type can be a shadow of things to come. Now, we cannot always... I shared this with you back, I think it was in our second lesson when I started this back in the summer. We cannot always identify the object that cast the shadow. We can't always see that right away. We cannot see it simply by the shadow itself. But when an object to whom the figure, the shadow points is seen, then it all becomes clear. For instance, we know that Adam was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was put to sleep, and from his wounded side, the Lord built Adam, a woman, to be a helpmeet for him. And of course, without the record of the New Testament, we never could have known the true meaning of that first surgical procedure that was performed by God Himself. All right? So we know. But in the light of the New Testament, we see Christ as the second man and the last Adam. In the same way, we see Calvary plainly in the sacrifice of the first animal when God made coats of skins and then covered our first parents. Now, let me show you another little truth about typology. We have already noticed practically every detail that can be seen to this point to picture some aspect of the work of our Savior. We have already seen, for example, that the Ark of Noah, we've seen it from many different angles now, mainly as a picture of Christ providing a refuge for sinners from the wrath and judgment of God. But sometimes there is more than one figure, more than one shadow. Sometimes there is more than just one type that can be seen in an event or a person or an occurrence. All right? Sometimes you can get two, three, sometimes several. All right? For example, Adam was a picture and type of the lost sinner in need of a Savior. All right? He was hiding himself. Remember that? And God came looking for him. God came looking for the sinner. But at the same time, he was also a type of the last Adam, the second man. You see, Adam is the federal head of a fallen race, and the Lord Jesus, the second Adam, the second man, the Lord Jesus is the federal head of a redeemed race. All right? The same thing can be said about Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac was a clear, or is a clear, picture and type of the son who was to be sacrificed. But at the same time, he was a picture of a sinner who himself needed a Savior. And so God had to provide Isaac with a substitute in the ram that was caught by its horns in the thicket. All right, so you have a dual picture there. And there are many, many other examples that I could give you. Now, there is no doubt that the ark is truly a picture of the Lord Jesus as our Savior from the coming wrath and judgment of God against sin. But the flood is also a picture of the wrath that God is going to pour out upon this world during the tribulation period that will begin immediately after the rapture of the church. And it is a picture of the provision that God will make for an elect remnant to be brought through that terrible time of wrath and judgment. And that is Israel. All right? So it's so we have a picture of God making a way for his church. We get taken to heaven. And so we escape the wrath. But then you've got Israel, and the whole world is going to turn its anger and focus upon Israel to destroy the nation. But the Lord Jesus will, during the tribulation period, be their ark of safety. All right, so let me show you this now from Matthew 24. First of all, let's notice the question, and then let's notice the answer. The question was, in verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So that's the question. And the answer is found in verse 37 and verse 38, when he says, but as it were in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were, now what's the next word? before. Now mark that word, folks. You got to see this. Verse 37 says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They want to know, when is all this going to happen? Now remember, no man knows the day nor the hour. So the Lord Jesus was not about to tell them, oh, it's going to happen on January 28, 2021. That'd be good, wouldn't it? But he couldn't do that, all right? Because no man knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, explanation. For as in the days that were before, all right, get that, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, there's one little word there that you've got to focus on, and it is so important to understanding what I'm about to show you. That one little word is the word before in verse 38. I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples on the Mount of Olives here one day before the crucifixion, one day before, and he tells them that about the conditions before the flood actually came. He's going to tell them the conditions before the flood actually came. So let's think about that time before the flood came upon the earth. And Jesus says, for as it was in the days that were before the flood. So let's think about that and think about what it was like before the flood. Now, it's interesting to me, it's interesting the scriptures discuss and emphasize three groups of men before the flood. All right, now let's go back to Genesis here real quick. All right, the first one, I want you to look at chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. All right, look, please, if you will, at verse 24. He is, Moses is here giving us the genealogy from Adam to Noah. All right, so look at verse 24. In giving that, there was a fellow by the name of Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. That's group number one, Enoch. The story kind of focuses right there on him. And then he was not. And you're going to read several times in your Bible. You're going to read several times throughout your Bible about this man whose name was Enoch. He was a preacher that preached on the second coming of Christ, Jude tells us. All right, he was a witness, a preacher for the Lord. And so group number one is Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. So Enoch was alive, and he did not have to physically die. Instead, God simply took him up to heaven one day. And don't forget, this was before the judgment of the flood came. And Enoch was not, for God took him. All right, second group. Look, please, at your Bible. And let's see. Look, if you will, at chapter 6. And there is a verse here in verse 9, if you'll look at it. It says, but Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. All right, so here's now the focus upon another group. And this second group is Noah and his family. And we see them carried through. Listen carefully now. Remember, Enoch was taken up to heaven. Remember that. Enoch was not, for God took him. Then the second group, we have Noah and his family. And what did God say to Noah? God told Noah, hey, Noah, build an ark. And then once that ark was built, God invited Noah to come into the ark. And we see Noah and his family carried through the judgment of the flood on the ark of safety that God provided. And then there is a third group, all right? And that third group is the rest of the world. That wicked bunch of people that are described here in chapter 6, where we read in verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God said, verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. So first group, we have Enoch. And Enoch was not, because he was taken to heaven. Then we see a second group. We see Noah and his family. And they got on the ark and they were preserved safely through the judgment of the flood. And then third, we see the people that were on the earth, and they were evil-hearted. They were as wicked as they could be. And what happened to them? They all died. They all died in judgment. All right, nod your head. You see that? All right, now, folks, I submit to you that these same three groups of people are in figure in our world today. In figure form, in typology, they are in our world today. In other words, those three groups of people before the flood picture the same groups of people who are in our world today, who fit perfectly into God's plan for the future. They wanted to know in chapter 24, when will all these things come? And the Lord is explaining it to them. And who does he go back to? He goes back to Noah and talks about the way it was before the flood. So you go back and read the way it was before the flood, and there are a few big things that stand out. Number one, Noah or Enoch was not, for God took him. Now, can you imagine what Mrs. Enoch went through? Do you think the Lord may have come and said, it's okay, I just took him home to be with me? I don't know. I told y'all I got some questions when I get to heaven. That's one I'm going to ask. I mean, that poor woman. So Enoch, Noah. And then you cannot help but think of the millions upon millions of people that were on this planet in a 2,000-year period of time. There'd be a lot of people born. It's been 2,000 years since Christ, and we've got, what, almost 9 billion people on the planet today? All right, so think about that. All right, so notice the question, notice the answer. Now, hold your place here, and let me have you go to 1 Corinthians. Let's see, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, let me show you something here. All right, look please at verse 32. All right, everybody with me so far? All right, we're about to turn the corner here, so pay attention. Look at verse 32. Paul says, give none offense, neither. Now notice, you got three groups here. Notice that, three groups. Give none offense, neither number one to the Jews, number two to the Gentiles, nor number three to the church of God. All right? Three pictures. Now, what I want you to see from this verse is that the Apostle Paul identifies three types, kinds of people living in the world today: Jew, Gentile, and the church, believers. All right? Now, listen to me. Every individual on this planet belongs to one of these three groups right now. You can put yourself in one of these three groups right now. A Jew is a physical descendant of Abraham through his son Isaac, through his son Jacob. Now you remember that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons who became the nation, the 12 tribes of Israel. If you are not an Israelite, then you are classified by God as a Gentile. All right? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Everybody got that? But then there is a third group consisting of both Jews and Gentiles. And that third group, Paul says, is the church, believers. Believers. Every person who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and has accepted him as their Savior, born again, and they know the Lord and they're on their way to heaven, that person is considered by God as a member of his church. You are his. You belong to him. When that rapture takes place, you're the one going up, all right? So the church, that church that he's talking about here, expresses itself in individual local churches just like this one. Now, with these three groups in mind, let's think again about our Lord's words in Matthew 24 and verse 38. Jesus said, as it was in the days before the flood, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, so shall it be just prior to the Lord Jesus returning. Nod your head. You see that? All right. That's go back to Matthew 24. I got to make sure you understand that. Matthew 24. Let me say it in another way. All right. In Matthew 24, verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood. All right. So we went back and looked at the days before the flood. And notice that Jesus said, as it was before the flood, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it's going to be similar to this, Genesis. It's going to be similar to Enoch, Noah, and the unsaved, the unbelievers. It's going to be similar when the Lord Jesus starts his second coming and the last days. So like it was back then, it's going to be like that before the Lord comes again. Remember, their question was, when are all these things going to happen? And so let's look at it, all right? As it was in the days that were before the flood. So let's see the picture that each one represents. First, we have Enoch. Remember that before the flood, Enoch was not, for God took him. According to Hebrews 11:5, the writer of Hebrews simply tells us that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I hope I'm translated that I don't have to see death. You know, I just hope I am. I don't want to be put in a casket and put in a hole in the ground. I just don't want to. You catch your death of pneumonia down there. And I don't want to do it. Paul, don't put me in a hole, okay? If I die, just prop me up somewhere, but don't put me in a hole. Ooh, gives me the willies just thinking about it. All right, so first we have Enoch. And Enoch was translated that he should not see death. All right, now very quickly, 1 Thessalonians 4. You know the scripture, don't you? 1 Thessalonians 4. We're out of time, so I'm going to read it and you catch up, all right? He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, translated, if you will. We were here, but then we were not. All right? So that's, and who's that going to happen to? It's going to happen to the church. All right? And then once Enoch, listen carefully now, once Enoch is safely in heaven, we had the second group now, remember, Noah and his family. So once Enoch was safely in heaven, in other words, once the church is raptured up to heaven, what the Bible calls the day of the Lord will be ushered in, and the days of the earth's greatest tribulation will begin. In Matthew 22 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus was talking about this, and he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. In other words, the judgment and the wrath that will be poured out upon the world will be so devastating, so vast, so widespread, and so many people will die that if the tribulation period was not ended by the Lord, there wouldn't be anybody left in no time. You can read about that in Revelation 6 through Revelation 18. Now get the picture, folks. Enoch is taken out of this world and ushered to heaven. which was a picture of the Lord Jesus stepping out on the clouds to rapture the church to heaven. But wait a minute, Israel is still here. All right, we're in heaven, but Israel is still here. So Noah and his family, you remember, were called into the ark and passed safely through the flood, through the judgment. And that is a picture of the divine provision that God will give for the nation of Israel. God is going to protect his people from the wrath of the Antichrist, the false Messiah. And they will be safe while the rest of the world has to deal with wrath, the likes of which this world has never seen before. But Enoch is in heaven. Don't forget that. The church is in heaven. And that wrath of the tribulation period is poured out on everybody. And the whole world is going to turn against God's people, Israel. But God, just like he protected Noah and his family, is going to protect the nation of Israel. Right now, the Jews have been blinded because of their rejection of Christ. But I believe a great revival will come in the nation of Israel at the midpoint of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist breaks the peace treaty that he will negotiate in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period with the Jews and their neighbors. And they will then, when that treaty is broken, they will have their eyes opened, and they will believe that Jesus is and was and is their Messiah. And this will turn the anger of the world focused upon them even more, so much so that God is going to have to divinely protect them from annihilation, just like Noah and his family were protected from the wrath of the flood by the security of the ark. All right? And then there's the third group. And that third group was all those wicked people who died in the flood. You see, once Enoch was in heaven, and once Noah and his family were safely on the ark, the storm clouds began to gather. And then the heavens opened, and the fountains of the deep ruptured, and the earth was completely underwater. You say, you believe in a worldwide flood? Yes. Yes, I most definitely do. Every person was destroyed. And every human being on the planet died a horrible, traumatic death in that flood. The picture should be clear to see. You reject the grace of God, and you will eventually face the wrath of God. It's that simple. And so God put a picture all the way back here in Genesis 5 and 6 of the end times for us. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days before the flood, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Isn't that good? So sometimes there is a primary picture that is glaringly seen, and then sometimes there can be a secondary picture that is seen. As I've stated to you many, many times before, the Word of God is the most amazing book because it's God's book. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious word, and thank you for the pictures that are here. We thank you for the promise that you're coming again. And Father, I I'm looking forward to that day when, just as Enoch experienced, he was here, but then he was not here because he was with you. And Father, we're looking forward to that day when we hear that trumpet sound and we go to be with you in heaven. And so, Father, I pray that you will speed your coming. I pray that you will speed your promises and fulfill them quickly. As John said, as he closed out the book of the Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. And Father, we do pray for a soon return of our Savior. Bless now what's been said. Help this to sink into our hearts and minds, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.